it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's the Pompey Pubcast that combines the beers and the blues.
Barros for Pompey, round Kuchak goes down, penalty to Portsmouth and Old Trafford. Barros tripped by Thomas Kuchak, who sent off Montari do the job. He steps up, left footed, scores for Pompey. They lead at Old Trafford in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup.
Jamal Lowe's onside, the flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, fantastic, brilliant. Portsmouth Football Club are promoted to League One.
Curtis across the face, a goal. Marquez! He's won it! 96 minutes on the clock! Porter the heading back to Wembley!
This is Three Lads in the Pub.
In the pub on a Sunday. I know, is it Sunday? It's Tuesday, Christ. I don't know what day is, but good evening, welcome along to another episode. And we've got the gang back together. I've got Jeff Harris to my left and looking slimmer than ever. I'm going to say this every single week because he is looking good. 4 stone down now, Mr. Ryan Stillwell. We'll start with you, Ryan. Good evening, mate.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. What's your secrets? Come on, tell us.
Don't be a lazy bastard. Don't have your daughter put you in the ground at 50.
Fantastic.
There are no state secrets. It's sort your fucking life out,
mate,
so you
play.
Can provide for your family.
Fair
That's
play.
It.
That's dub of the week already. Jeff Harris, how you doing, mate?
I'm good.
Broken any nose this week? Or
No, still clicking.
No broken bones? And
no.
Any fights with your missus or anything like
that?
No. Okay. Did you do the space hopper training that you said you were going to do?
No, I didn't.
Okay, right. Okay.
I didn't want any more injuries.
Dinner of the week, see? Sorted, done.
Yeah.
See you later. Thanks
right,
for
well,
the
I'll wrap up. We'll see you in 3 weeks' time when we're back.
Yes, we have a bit of a gap now. Is there an international break or something? I'm so out of the loop.
There is.
Okay. I'm so into that. But yeah, let's start with the pub then. We are changing it up this week. We're at the Rose in June. And as ever, every time we're here, we've got our biggest fanboys. We've got Harry and Den in the corner. Hi, boys. You good? Also, I can't slag my dad off tonight because he's sat about about a metre away from me. So
you can slag him off. You just have to be brave.
I have to be brave, yes. And we also have my younger brother alongside us. So a little crowd here in the pub today, which is always good. Right, start with beers. Jeff, what have you gone for?
I've gone for an Inches cider.
Well, that's different. You haven't had that before, have you?
Yeah.
Have you have? Ryan, you've gone for an...
I've gone for an
Inches
as well,
cider.
Actually, yes.
I'll be here all day around the whole table, but I've gone for the old Madry and, looking good. All right, let's get into it then. Where are we? So, Ryan, we missed you on the last episode, but we were joined by some special guests. Went well, didn't it, Jeff?
It did.
It
did
good.
Go well. I had to do more talking.
I know. And even actually, Ryan, did you listen to the last episode?
No, I don't listen to it when I'm on it.
I mean, if you want to do this podcast with me again, I probably wouldn't listen.
Okay.
Because I spoke a little bit too much, I think.
I know.
I insulted a 9-year-old kid.
And then it was blatantly obvious why he doesn't speak.
Okay, I'm going to have to listen now.
Yeah. It wasn't that bad.
We were like, bloody hell, Liam, there's some seriously bad takes you've got.
I'm going to have to...
You are. I have to listen all the way home.
Imagine listening to your own podcast.
I called a 9-year-old boy a din.
Then we get the stats.
You called
up.
A 9-year-old a din.
I was a little bit more.
Anyway. Oh my God, Ryan, we have to listen to
move
this
on
in the gym.
well, look at me. I go to the
he
gym.
He didn't call him a din. He called him worse than that.
Oh yeah. My word.
Well, I didn't
realise he was a 9-year-old boy.
I didn't realise he was 9. He shouldn't have been on the pitch. Moving on.
Let's
get
context.
Into it. That's fair enough, though. Yeah, apparently I should have just worded it better, but we live and learn. We all make mistakes, don't we, Ryan? First episode. Moving on. Peterborough.
See, all I did, right, I did a Family Guy joke and I got blasted on Twitter for a week. He, like, sends death threats to a 9-year-old. And everyone, isn't that funny? Some bullshit.
Right, okay, agenda this week. I thought it was a typo, but it's not. We're talking about Posh first, then you never guess who we're talking about after that.
Posh Derby.
We're talking about Posh. Like, okay, I like that.
Yeah.
Right, let's start with the first Posh game in the Cup. Were any of you there?
Yes.
I was.
Okay, I'll go you. I'll go you first, Jeff. What were your thoughts on it? Okay, Ryan?
Yeah. Look, it was an open end-to-end affair. Then it became dull. And it was quite bizarre that a very youthful Peterborough team were able to, at times, outplay us, outwit us, outfight us, outbe more physical than us, everything. And you just knew. You knew that it was going to go to penalties, and you just knew that they would nick the win. And look, John Messina brought the more experienced players on to take those penalties. And penalties are the luck of the draw. You're either good at them or you're not. And it's quite bizarre because I was chatting to the guy in front of me, and just before Morel took his penalty, I said, I remember Paul Merson and Paul Walsh both saying that if you aim for the post and clip the post, the goalkeeper is never going to save the ball. I just didn't think Joe Morel would hit the post that fucking much.
At least we know who not to put on penalties in the future.
I was more confused by the take of the fans afterwards. You get the cliche of, look, okay, yeah, it's a nothing cup, it's this, that and the other. And then, I'm sorry, but if you actually get a good tie, you get picked for TV, that's where you make your money. I know the winning of the round is negligible. It's like 5K at that stage. But if you get a TV game, you're now talking 250, 300K that goes in the coffers for January. So for any fan, personally, I think for any fan to say it's a nothing game is wrong. It was a good opportunity to get the I don't want to say fringe players, but to get the players out there who haven't played many minutes in the league, get Zach Swanson up to speed to play right back in the Posh part two. But we had enough opportunities in that game to safely put it to bed, and we just didn't take it.
Yeah. I mean, you could kind of predict the outcome of going to penalties, Ryan. Not really our sort of thing, is it? I mean, okay, actually, take that back. We did it in the Pizza Cup, whatever it was
Pizza
it back
Cola
in the
Cup?
You know, against Sunderland. I've had one too many sips of my Mandry, Jeff. Leave me alone. Kind of predicted
the... Weren't you covering it on the radio then?
No. I was at the Pizza Cup, yeah.
Yeah, and you covered it.
Yeah, I did. No, yeah. I'm just saying that was the last time we won on penalties, wasn't it? Was it then?
I'm pretty sure. No, not in any cup, because we won the most irrelevant... Last season, we won the most irrelevant penalty shootout in history. So we qualified from the EFL Trophy group stage with a draw against Wimbledon. And results elsewhere dictated that we were going to finish top and Wimbledon were going to finish second. And obviously, you get an extra point if you win the penalty shootout. No matter what happened in that shootout, we would have still finished top and Wimbledon would have still finished second. So then played out the most pointless penalty shootout of all time, because both sides were going through. Pompey would be at home in the next round and Wimbledon would be away. And it was in the driving rain, absolutely gopping weather. And there's about 300 people going, I've no idea why we're here, but we're here watching a penalty shootout that had no relevance. And we did win it, and Olawoyemi made 3 saves.
That was it. Sorry, who was that against?
Wimbledon.
Wimbledon, that was it, yeah. I do remember that. I'll take that back.
Yeah.
But anyway, what's your thoughts on the Peterborough game, Ryan?
our performances
Yeah.
In cup game.
Sorry, Joe, I've just got that. Sorry. I should really rake up.
Our performances in cup games have weirdly degraded the more we've gone into August, which is why I don't buy the argument of, we've gone out because these rotation players and they're leggy. Okay, but we played an actual Forest Green side in the first round of the League Cup, away from home, in the rain, at Emmerdale, and wrapped up business. You're telling me the more minutes these players play in the month of August, together and as part of the first team, the poorer their performances get? Because again, we went to Emmerdale, 1-3-1. You then play Fulham, Emmerdale, who go down to 10 men. We don't beat them. We win on penalties, but we draw the game. Then we come from a goal down against Peterborough, 10 men. We don't win the game. We go to penalties. So I don't buy the argument that, oh, that, you know, it's okay because it's a nothing game. Yeah, who hates free prize money? That would suck. Yeah, who hates free ticket revenue? That would suck. We don't have a good enough excuse to have left that cup with the team that was out. Because again, these players have played. They've already played against Forest Green. They've already played against Fulham. This was every single one of those players. It was at least their third start in August alone. And for some of those players, they've either come on in league games or started in league games. So for much of that starting 11 against Peterborough, it was at least their fourth start of the month. That's not leggy. That is, you've played football. You've won those football games. You've played them in quite a varied scenarios that other teams don't have the luxury of. Like, what do you think Fulham teenagers have played as much football as, you know, some of those guys that have already played four professional games of football in a month have? It's not the worst thing in the world. Fair enough, we're at the League Cup. It is what it is. We've got bigger objectives. But, again, we do not have a good enough excuse for that performance and for leaving the League Cup in the fashion we did. It was just flat. And petition to start having Pompey play against 12 opposition players, because we do not win games against 10 men. That was the third game in a row where the opposition has had 10 men for at least a third of the game and we didn't win. We're utterly...
We've always said that, haven't we?
Utterly bizarre.
People go mental when a player gets sent off, but it doesn't actually go in your favour most of the time, because you've got an extra player trying to mark someone that isn't there, and people get out of position.
And I don't want to go too deep into Pompey's flaws at the moment, because we are currently unbeaten. We lost against Posh. We lost the penalty shootout. We didn't lose the game. We haven't actually lost an actual game of football yet. So we're unbeaten. So I don't want to get too deep into the flaws. But one thing we cannot do is break teams down once they go into structured defence. If they retreat into their own third and they go 5-4-1 or 5-3-1, depending on how many men they've got on the field, we can't break that down. That is our one Achilles heel that we have... one of two Achilles heels. The other one I'll get onto a bit later. But we actually have a cure for that one.
I think the most disappointing thing, Jeff, was seeing who we were. We could have got in the next round. I think we're all disappointed with that, aren't we?
I mean, it doesn't work like that, though, does
it? I was taking the piss, mate. Have you seen who they got?
But it's like, it didn't matter who Peterborough go, because allocated in a
Wasn't
totally
it going
order?
To be Sutton? Like, who? Because obviously it's done numerically. Yeah. So... if you take Peterborough out, you shift every team that's alphabetically below Peterborough up one, and then we take the place of the team that's around us. And someone said Sutton at home. And again, you think, right, winnable game, more prize money, more ticket revenue, you get through to round four,
you're definitely getting a big boy.
And again, free prize money and good ticket revenue, that'd be fucking awful, wouldn't it? It feels like a missed opportunity, especially if we're happy with what feels like a good squad depth. It just feels like a missed opportunity, but it's not something that I lost sleep over once I got home. I just got home knowing we messed the bed, and we didn't need to.
Jeff?
Whenever you're playing against 10 men, the first fundamental or two fundamentals of playing against 10 men, you've got to have pace and purpose on the ball. And you've got to get wide, and you've got to stretch, and you've got to stretch the opposite team so quickly and move the ball so quickly that you're able to swap play and switch play from the left to the right, back to the centre and up. And not, I'm just going to pass it 10 yards backwards, or I'm just going to play a safe pass 10 yards to the left or to the right. Safe passes does not win you games. Safe passes keeps possession. And like I said before, we play possession-based football like we are 1-0 up and we're seeing the game out with 88 minutes, 89 minutes to go. We do not play possession-based football to make the opposition make a mistake and then exploit and pounce on that mistake. if we look at the second Peterborough game, the first 25 minutes were poor. They were poor. And I defy anyone to say they were those first open that opening salvo was not poor. Then all of a sudden, we started passing the ball around with purpose, with pace. We started getting wide. We started being more creative. We started taking more chances. We started, you know, we've got to let these players. We've got to let these players make mistakes. Otherwise, every time a pass goes wrong and they hear the whole of Fratton Park go, ugh. They're not going to play that. They're not going to play that expressive pass. They're not going to be brave on the ball. They are going to play that ball in 12 yards pass back to the centre half, who's going to knock it back to Norris. Because we're going, oh, every time they make a mistake. Now, if they make a mistake and then they go hunt the ball down and try and win that ball back, they get a round of applause. They get a standing ovation. They get the fans on their feet, and all of a sudden it lifts the crowd. And I know we've gone into the segue of the second game, but just before we started getting into it, there was a smattering of boos and groans around about 22, 23 minutes, and it kind of came from the North Stand Fratton end.
sorry, I'm just looking at the North Stand lower season. But
there was a smattering of boos and there was a smattering of groans, and then I can't remember who it was. Someone just sparked into life, and then it was like it got the crowd going. Do you know what? We're in this. We're absolutely in this, and we did. We came back into the game.
By the way, have you ever seen a bloke with jet white hair, age in the late 50s, gobbing off to any players in the North Lower? That is my dad.
You described half the demographic of the North Stand Lower there.
I do like sitting it. Do you know what? Here we go. It's been the radio. When I did my first game back in the North Lower, after being away for a while, I sat there and I thought, bloody hell, it was nice and tame with that South Stand upper, wasn't it, Ryan? Obviously, you would have seen that as well, going back into the...
I'm not having out with Ryan sat this to
you. No, he was fine. He had to behave, didn't you? You had to.
Yeah, I was on QA CoComs at the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can imagine
and,
that
and
was...
And I forgot how to be... Anywhere
you do, you
neutral.
Have to be respectful, don't you? Like, yeah. It was a subtle clap when we said, oh, hooray, well
no,
done.
No, because I forgot to do that.
Oh, yeah, right.
I was at the back.
Oh, there's nothing like the time in, I think, Norwich game. Yeah. Me, Jake and Alan Knight were all on the floor cuddling in the press box. That was fun.
And the Norwich press box took it well.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't accuse you of winning the World Cup final.
Oh, they tweeted all
weeks.
About us, didn't yeah. they? That was great fun. But, yeah, going back to where were we at? I can't remember where we're at now.
Basically the second posh game.
That was
point.
It. So into the second posh game.
And specifically the reaction to going a goal down.
Yeah.
Which is a lovely segue because I have a...
Goal.
It's not a point of order. I don't know what I'm going to call it. I'm just going to start talking and you lot have to fucking deal with it.
Don't shush the Fratton end.
That's... We'll get to that later, by the way.
Mortar,
that's
Wally.
Foreshadowing.
Why would you do that? How many times have
we
got to say
that MK Dons player that did it in the 3-1 defeat on whatever night it was. I do not get the reaction to going a goal down. I get being annoyed you're a goal down because that makes winning harder. I get that as a football fan. But I don't get why people got so doom and gloom at 3:20 p.m. Saturday 3 p.m. games do not end at 3:20. They end at approximately 5 o'clock now.
According to some, that never happened.
Well, apparently it did. But regardless of what people may or may not have heard in the stands, you can see it on social media. And I'm talking X, as it's now known, Facebook, Instagram, web chats, forums, going one goal down. A home game, 20 minutes in, I could not understand the reaction. And here is why. The season started on what, August 4th? 5th? 4th? I think it's 4th because that's what I've worked out in my hand. Thank you. So I'm not an idiot. Well, I am most times, but on this occasion, I'm not.
You are an idiot.
The posh, the posh cup game was on August 29th. It also represented the fourth time in August we have come from one goal down. We went a goal down against Bristol Rovers. Didn't lose. We went a goal down against Forest Green. Won. We went a goal down against Fulham. Drew/won. We went a goal down against Posh. Drew/lost the shootout. In 25 days, we've gone a goal down four times. Now, again, that's our other Achilles heel. We need to start games better. Over the course of a season, we are going to go a goal down approximately 40 times. Not good, really, if you have aspirations. We have to sort out our start to games. You can't go down a goal that often in the first half. Good news is, every single time we've come back. So in 25 days, four times we've come back from a goal down. That is averaging over once a week. Now, I know there's been a huge furore, particularly on X, about the relevance of certain statistics within games, particularly as it pertains to the stat known as XG expected goals. I'm not going to get into that.
Jeff can't wait to talk about this.
I know Jeff got into it, and I know it got...
I was being sarcastic.
I know it got like quite weird at one point between... It got off topic, really. I'm not going to get into that. I'm only talking about what happens on the scoreboard, because ultimately the scoreboard is the ultimate factor in all of this, and I can see the pros and cons from the debate. I watched it with a bag of popcorn. I can see the pros and cons of both sides. I'm only talking about the scoreboard here. You know when we go a goal down. You know when we score. It's the stuff you celebrate and the stuff you... It's that simple. So why were so many people acting doom and gloom when we go 1-0 down on Saturday, when we've already come back from a goal down four times in 25 days? And the Posh League game was 29 days after the start of the season. So in 29 days, we've gone down five times and we've come back five times. Why was the reaction so overblown? Yes, we don't start games well. I'm not being some corny sunflower, the proverbial first blossom of spring, and saying we're absolutely infallible and we're going to walk to the league. I understand we have flaws, but you also have to understand teams...
Steve sat there going, what the fuck are you talking
about? I've been
doing
that for the last 5 years, knowing the kid.
Teams might not recover from going a goal down five times in a season. There will be teams out there, the moment they got a goal down, that's it. Game's over. They won't even get a point out of it. There will be teams out there who don't do that five times in a season. We've done it five times now in 29 days. Clearly, this team is made of stronger stuff at the moment and has some kind of resilience and positive response to going a goal down. So, next time when we do go a goal down, can we just keep the head, please? We've clearly shown an adeptness in facing adversity of going a goal behind. Five times in 29 days, five times we've responded. We haven't actually lost any of the games. We've won three of them. We won a fourth one in a shootout. So please don't... Fine.
If you're people are still stuck in their ways of us going 1-0 down.
If you're angry at full-time, fine. But, and again, I'm not asking you to do any deep dives into statistical nuances or look for stuff that isn't readily available. Look at the scoreboard. And look at the way the sequence of the scoreboard changes. We clearly have a capacity to come from behind. So if we do go a goal down again, keep the head. There are 70 minutes to go in that Peterborough game, and people are acting like it's over. It wasn't, and it wasn't in any of the other four games. Fuck, I'm calling it a point of order. Like, believe in this team a bit.
Do you know what I was referring to then? Like, years ago, not that long ago, we'd go 1-0 down. That'd be, you know, that was it. We're not getting back into the game. But now...
And we've done it five times
exactly.
already.
Exactly. So, yeah.
So, believe.
Yeah.
Believe it's not over. And we were winning by half-time. Yes, fortuitously with the second goal.
Yeah.
But Peterborough were ahead for 18 minutes. The scores were level for 23 minutes and Pompey were winning for about 55 minutes. So Peterborough winning out of the three possible outcomes of the game was actually the shortest amount of time occupied within the game. Keep the head. We can clearly turn it around as we have five times already.
Good win then, anyway.
Loved it. I knew we were winning though.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing that retroactively. I knew we were winning. Yes, I did.
Ryan looked at the scoreboard if you didn't hear that.
if you look at what I mentioned earlier as our first Achilles heel, it's teams who sit in a structured defence. It's teams who sit back 5-4-1 when they're off the ball, retreating into their own final third. The other problem with that is if we pick up 70% possession, we will actively force the team backwards because we control so much of the ball. Our possession provokes defences to drop deeper. In other words, we actually kind of create our own problems by keeping the ball so long. Teams actually retreat into a shell, which we can't then break
down.
And
that goes back to my point that we need to be quicker in the turnover of the ball and passing the ball.
We do. And also where we turn the ball over. because you can press in the opposition's final third. You can force a turnover 30 yards from their goal, but it doesn't mean you win the ball 30 yards from their goal. If you force the turnover 30 yards from their goal, but they send it 60 yards downfield, you don't receive the ball 30 yards from their goal. You receive it 30 yards from your goal, and because you force the turnover so high, they're already in a structured defense as you move the ball back up the pitch. So they have got, 5 to 10 seconds already back there just to reshape, waiting for the next wave upon the wall. This is why, after the first Posh game, I was like, we are going to be the good Posh on Saturday, because it was the first time a team was going to play Pompey this season and actually have a go. They were going to send their men forward. In the first 20 minutes, every time Peterborough won the ball on the halfway line, because Paul was a little bit shaky in turning the ball over initially, so was Swanson, they would send 5 men forward straight away. You'd have Poku, Mason Clark, Jay Jones, Collins. They would all charge forward, and they'd leave these juicy, big gaps behind them. And I'd say about 5 minutes after we conceded the opener, that's when we started to find the gaps in behind. That's when we started moving the ball quicker. You had that beautiful Swanson cross and a Bishop, headed it just wide of the post. Should have been a penalty, which is why he celebrated at the referee when he equalised, because he was having his shirt pulled for 40 minutes. Could have had 2 penalties, yeah. But that's why when I watched the Cheltenham game, when I watched the Stevenage game, admittedly on Monday, because I was jiggling my ass at Victorious, and then when I watched the Posh game, I was like, oh good, a team's actually going to have a go at this time. I believe in the strengths of our team, which is basically defence. We're going to lure the opposition out. We're going to win the ball instead of 20 yards from our goal. We might be able to win it 20, 30 yards further up on the halfway line, which we did in the second half particularly. And we got into the gaps every single time. And the pressure eventually told. And I was almost laughed out of the building for saying we were going to beat Posh by a couple of people. But again, we were playing the same type of team all the way through August. Yeah. The moment you play a team that wants to win, well, they so opens their own set of flaws defensively. And we exploited them brilliantly. We earned, over 90 minutes, we earned that win. We fully earned it.
Isn't it refreshing? I'll be honest, I've only watched snippets of the game. Isn't it refreshing to see balls into the box and look what happens?
It is.
But good balls as well, actually.
If you look at the stats and everything else, and you look at the crosses into the box, I think we're second in the stat table of crosses into the box and penalty of crosses into the box. But it's almost as though you've got to do that war of attrition type thing. Put enough balls into the box, eventually you're going to score one. And you could have a player totally out of form, will hit the target. You can have a player totally in form, will hit the target and not score. And it's just about the right conditions, the right time, the right movement, everything else. That, you know, you look at Bishop's goal, 20 minutes before, having his shirt pulled, it's gone wide. 20 minutes later, he's having his shirt pulled and he puts it in the back of the net. And it's those fine margins. And it's, for me, I just want to see more from the likes of White or Kamara or Scully on the wing. They're in those advanced positions. Get the ball into the box. And that's where we kind of, and I read a really good article. If you go on www.newsnow.co.uk, search sport, Portsmouth and all that lot, there was a really good article, and he's done a really good in-depth analysis on actual positions where we had really good positional play and where the ball was transitioning across, and it's about the wrong decisions at the wrong time. And it's got like Kamara against Stevenage. He had the whole of that right-hand post open, and yet he's put it across the goal where there's 3 defenders stood in the way, 2 Pompey players, and he's never going to get it into the far corner, plus the goalkeeper. And he's broken it down really, really well. And I'll share it on our social feed later. But it's really good at how you've got an overload on the left-hand side or 3 or 4 players. But actually, when you look at the bigger picture, there's one player in the middle and the other 3 players on the right-hand side waiting for that quick transitional play and get that ball across the box or move it across the floor over to the other side. And we just haven't been doing that in the game. it's there, and you just you can see it. And I said on the radio the other day.
I was on the radio.
Yeah, when I was on Solon. I said, we're going to click. We're absolutely going to click in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And when we do, we're going to pay someone big time. Because it will all just fall into place. And then the players will go, do you know what? And we saw that. We saw that in the second half against Peterborough. You know. But I think we did click, but we've not fully clicked. That's
sorry, we've got a heckler in the back of the pub there. His name's Steven.
We have not. I don't. We have. This team has got bags and bags of potential. We know this team's got bags of potential. All I'm saying is, I would like to see more from the likes of White, and I'd like to see more from the likes of Scully.
I don't think anyone here can argue that either.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not saying they're bad players. I'm just saying I would expect more and like to see more.
I would almost expect these games. I know we're still waiting on the extent of Scully's injury, but against teams who are slightly more ambitious in the way they play football, that may actually be indirectly the solution to Scully and White. Having more space to operate in, having more time to move with the ball at speed, rather than collecting the ball with your full back on your right shoulder, your left midfielder, or your right midfielder, depending on which flank you're on your left shoulder, and they're stood there going, well, you've got 0.2 yards of space and you've got one man here, one man there. Once you start playing these more open-ended games, such as Peterborough was on Saturday, that's when you might be able to get White or Scully or any of these other players that have had a slow start to get going. If you're sat in a nice car, test driving a nice car, but you happen to be sat on the motorway in traffic, you're not able to test it properly. You're not able to open it up and see, right, let's see what it can do. You just sat there listening to the radio.
Doing
1 mile an hour. Sometimes you need a bit more green to run into to get these players going again.
Here's what we
have to do after that is figure out how we're actually going to break down these teams that are content to defend. Because, by the way, we've not played the last of them. We've not even played the half of them yet.
What do we know about getting the best out of players when there's competition? It's a good segue, that wasn't it? When there's competition for players in certain positions. Now, something we've seen this week is the potential. I mean, Messino basically saying the door is kind of still open for Ronan Curtis, who is training. Well, he's obviously doing his rehab still down at the training ground. Do you think that's I'll be honest, when obviously his contract ran out, I thought, okay, it's a shame it's ended this way, but we move on. But I kind of feel like we need him, Jeff. Yeah, now, yeah. Now more weeks are going on. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hang on a minute.
Yeah. I know he's. Yeah.
Did a little bit of vomit come up in your mouth then?
No, I don't. Look, I don't know. What are your thoughts? I just had a bit of a.
We talked about this on the last episode, and in a heartbeat, there is a place for Ronan Curtis in this team and in this formation and in this squad. Whether that's a long-term contract, I don't know. Would I like to see Curtis be given a contract from, say, October, November, all the way through to the summer, and then see where we are as a team, see where he is as a...
I don't think he'd take an option up like Thompson did. I don't think he'll do that. Paper player.
But, you know, if it suits Ronan, and Ronan gets back fit, and a fully fit, fully firing Ronan Curtis takes a deal to the summer, one, the team will benefit from that, the club will benefit from that, but two, Ronan Curtis will benefit from that, because for me, it puts him in the shop window, and then he's in the driving seat for then either a better deal at Portsmouth or gets a move to another club. For me, it's a no-brainer. You can sign him outside the transfer window. A fully fit Ronan Curtis is better.
We know on his day he can be...
Exactly.
But, I mean, like I say, I'll be honest, I find him frustrating to watch because you kind of predict what's going to happen. But he's going to be raring to get back. Oh, we've got another heckler. He's got the microphone. Oh, God, here comes Harry. There you go, Harry. I'm joking. You can speak, mate. Go for it. You ready? There you go.
Sure thing. It all depends on what Ronan Curtis you get, doesn't it? If you get the Ronan Curtis of the first couple of years he was here, especially when we were playing in the Checker Trade Trophy, when we got that far, you're looking at one of the best wingers in the league and you would sign him. If you're looking at the Ronan Curtis we had under Danny Cowley, yes, I know he was played out of position on multiple times, but then you're less inclined to sign him because the impact he has is not as great. I'm not sure. I think once a player's gone, I think let him be, let him go progress his career somewhere else. I think we've got enough wingers with the talent, because it's the same kind of thing with Scully. Is he was out a lot last year and he's just coming back, and it's just taking him a lot longer to come back than maybe someone else. But because he's been injured, he's coming back and it's taken him a while to get going. But then you're going to restart that cycle again, but like 3 months into the season with Curtis, and then you're going to have the same problems with Curtis as you have with Scully now.
Yeah, be interesting what Ryan thinks on this. I know you're sitting there playing with your beard thinking.
I was surprised that people were surprised. So we've got an experienced League One international out of contract, rehabilitating in Portsmouth, living in Portsmouth, getting back to fitness in Portsmouth, attending Portsmouth games. He was even at the Wimbledon friendly. Not even in a competitive game, he's still there. We've still got the mother of said international tweeting good luck Pompey on match days. Clearly this is something that Pompey've been looking at for a while, and clearly this is something they've got in their back pocket. So, oh, the League One international is here in our facility rehabilitating. There's not been a sniff of interest elsewhere. I said this a while ago that we've been exploring this ever since we let him go, and we're going to be the first refusal, if you will, as to whether or not we take him up. So I'm not sure why the conversation sort of sparked back to life this week when I perceived it's happening all along, because why wouldn't it if he's here and rehabilitating in our facilities and there's still an active link between player and club? To the extent of, do we sign him? Not without moving someone else on, because we are looking stacked. If everyone's fully fit and they're not out for half a year, we're looking stacked in the, if you're playing 4-2-3-1, that three area is looking stacked with a lot of players, to the point where some of them aren't even going to be making the match day 18. So what was the point in signing them if they're not even going to make the 18? Because Paddy Lane wasn't signed to not play football for Pompey. He wasn't signed to go on loan. Neither was Kamara, because he is a loanee. Gavin White wasn't. Scully wasn't. Tom Lowry wasn't. He might be the one that moves on and then we reinvent someone else in the middle. Robertson wasn't. He's a loanee. All of these players were signed to play now. We haven't got any development players in that position outside of Kobe Motto, but we're not going to shift Kobe Motto on for Curtis or vice versa, because Motto's what, 16, 17? So we can ignore him from that part. The seniors are all there to play. They're not there to not make the 18. So if you are going to sign Curtis again, you're going to have to move someone on, because if you look at the left currently, we've had Jack Sparks playing there, we've had Kamara playing there, we've had Scully playing there. Sooner or later, one of them's not even going to make the 18. And what was the point of that?
I mean, that was the opportunity to move a player on, wasn't it?
I'm not saying no to Curtis, because I've banged the drum somewhat that Curtis is still a fighter. You've seen Curtis get a bit huffy, but you've never seen him not want the ball and not want to influence. Like there's a difference between wanting to play and playing well. Curtis has always wanted to play when he's on the pitch. There's always an active interest. He may have not always executed, but there's always been an active desire to influence on the pitch. That's one thing I don't think you can say about Curtis, is he doesn't look interested. So there is that. It's all about what happens after this, because this is a career-threatening injury that any player suffers, not just Curtis, that any player suffers. So it's all about what has he got afterwards down the road, and is it worth shifting an existing player out to sign him again?
Let's throw a prediction. Curtis comes back, Denver Hume rips his contract up, player free, sorted. Calling it now.
Surely if Denver Hume was going to leave, the club would have done it by now.
I think they try shifting him, didn't they, on deadline day?
The club would have mutually consented.
I mean, we don't know. We're just guessing, isn't it? Just guessing.
So we'll see. Around and get paid.
But do players want to do that when they're in? I mean, how old is he?
25.
Does he want to do that now?
I think to credit Curtis, he probably wants to play football. I think Curtis is not one of those to be content to sit on the bench. I think Curtis wants to play football.
Well, I mean, look at his statement he released. It's obviously.
I think he was asking how old Denver Hume was.
Yeah, no, we've discovered he's 25, wasn't he? Yeah, yeah. So I mean, I wouldn't. If I mean, would a player that age want to be sat there picking up a wage? You want to be playing. You're in the peak of your career, surely, aren't you? That age.
Yeah, and Denver Hume's had, what, 3 years now of this? Because his injury trouble started at Sunderland, which is why he flamed out of the first team, because of the injuries there. So he obviously wants to reignite his career at some point.
Exactly. So I can't imagine he's happy not being
I'm on about. Like, we're going to have to shift someone out who they're not. We didn't sign them to be outside the 18. Like, we've already got Riley Towler outside of match day 18. And Ben Stevenson, who is likely to partner Pack against Derby, him or Devlin, well, how many weeks did both of them not make the 18 in a league game? We only just managed to get Devlin in on the bench for the Peterborough game. Stevenson still missed the mark. So we have players at the moment we've signed to be rotation players and squad filler players to come in and play actual league games who aren't even making the 18. If we're going to sign Curtis, we have to do so with the conviction that he's going to be in the 18, otherwise what's the point? And we're going to have the difficult conversation with someone else saying, you can watch an iFollow.
I actually think the next 5 to 6 weeks are crucial for Scully. One, injury-wise. Two, he's formed when he comes back into this team. I think that will make the decision for the club a lot easier or a lot harder, depending on what happens with Scully in the next 5 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just training my younger brother to be a producer here, and I was just warning him how Jeff can go really, really quiet. Then all of a sudden he's shouting in your ear. I mean, you do that.
The
I promise
with
still.
Curtis is sometimes.
Oh dear. Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. Go on, Harry. That's it, mate.
One. Would you compare him to Richarlison in
Who?
The Prem, Curtis? As in.
No, Curtis isn't useless.
What have you been drinking?
Same as you. As in, kind of, they're quite both similar style of kind of arrogance, like quite angry on the pitch, very similar personalities on pitch wise.
You know what you've just done, Harry? Someone's going to clip this now and you're going to get absolutely rinsed on Twitter for this. You know that? for comparing Curtis to Carlson. Harry Wood, by the way, everyone on Twitter.
What I would say is, if he doesn't sign, which I wouldn't, is maybe he goes to either a lower League One or a top League Two team and gets that contract till the summer, because then he can prove he's back to full fitness and then he can get a better move again to a better League One side or Championship next year, once he's proved he's back to full fitness and he can produce what he could do before.
And any free transfer you're bringing in now, I mean, you look at Paul Downing and had a club for 16 months now at Hereford.
I don't know why.
Any player you bring in now will all be short of match fitness and match sharpness. I personally don't see any difference to bringing in a out of contract, fully fit winger to Ronan Curtis is already in the building. I think the risks are the same. I think the output is the same. And like I said, I personally believe the next 5 to 6 weeks with Scully is the crucial point.
Yeah. I think we need to move on from the Curtis subject because we've been talking about it for about 20 minutes now. Anything else you want to add, Ryan?
We'll segue into Derby.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how that's a segue, but it's Derby.
We'll segue into Derby because Ronan Curtis won't be playing at Derby. And that's how I'm going to segue into Derby. Can we have a very brief chat about Joe Morrell?
Yeah.
That is his fourth red card in 2023.
And he was never sent off before he played for Pompey either, was he?
And he was never sent. So it's his fourth red card for Pompey. I know the Oxford one was stupid. And to be honest,
I think it was harsh.
The second
Tuesday.
Yellow against Posh is
Saturday,
is,
sorry.
Like, he obviously gets into a compromised position where he's then turned around chasing him. But he pulls out. Like, he pulls out.
He doesn't. He does not pull out.
Hold on.
I'll tell you now, he does not pull out. He sticks his right foot out. He sticks his right foot out and clips the right ankle of the player. That is a cynical foul. No legitimate attempt for the ball. Laws of the game, it's a yellow card. It's a cynical foul.
I mean, we've got
laws of the game.
We've got
laws
people that of the game are there. The experts of the North Stand Lower.
He does not pull out.
I think the replay back of him being in a compromised position.
Watch the replay back from the South Stand view. He is chasing the player, and he goes to go in, and then he puts his right foot down and plants it next to the foot of the midfielder.
I said it would be hostile tonight, didn't I? I knew it.
Watch the view from the South Stand, and he clips his ankle.
Well, I mean, they're watching VAR now. Are currently in
VAR, which is Harry and Den in the corner of the Rose and
Harry
June.
And Den. Harry and Den. We're just watching it, mate.
In the June,
Pompey's very own Waldorf and Statler.
I mean,
it's a legit attempt for the ball. But
it's not a legit attempt for the ball.
No, it's not.
Just way too late.
He's nowhere near the ball.
He does go for the ball. It's just way too late.
The ball of his foot.
The problem I have with this foul is I'm a firm believer that not all contact dictates foul. There can be contact on a player that does not hinder a player. And the proof in this is that when Curtis plants the right foot, how is the posh player able to lift both feet off the ground? Morel,
how is he able to
lift both feet off the ground and dive forward? If the contact is enough to send the posh player down, the laws of physics would dictate that your body could contort accordingly around the contact you have just received. Therefore, he would spin left shoulder going forward, right shoulder going back over Morel's outstretched leg. The fact that the contact in brackets comes in and he's able to lift both feet off the floor and swan dive to the deck dictates that the contact is not enough for a foul, because under his own steam, he has not been hindered enough by the contact, because under his own steam, he has then taken an action to dive forward and buy the foul. He's dived under his own steam. If the contact was enough to send him down, he would have spun left shoulder forward because of where the contact... It's physics. It's literal physics.
Everyone's getting involved tonight. Den, 2 seconds. Den, two seconds, Jeff. David to my
Death
right
Jen.
Wants.
There you go.
David to my right. He's got control of your microphones. He'll turn them off if you carry on, boys. Yeah, Dave.
I think the thing with Moreau is calling him a liability is just ridiculous, because he fights for this badge every week. He's the best midfielder in the squad. He's a Welsh international. Yes, he gets sent off now and then, but he just dictates every midfield he comes up against. He has a few bad games, but compared to Marlon Pack, he can do some exceptional things, but sometimes you'll watch him and he'll just slow down the whole game, and then you're having to get Morel to speed up the whole pace of the game again. And then if you play someone like Robertson, it's going to drive forward at the ball and lose it.
I think of...
Speaks more sense than me.
I think of Morel's four red cards in 2023. That is the one I genuinely feel empathetic for. And he now misses Derby, which is going to be a tough game. We're going to have to bring in Devlin or Stevenson. It's the one red card for Morel this year that I do actually think, you know, Jesus, really?
I mean, nothing would top the one at the end of the season.
Oh, the MK Dons one, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I do think there still needs to be... I know Messino defended him in public by saying he doesn't have any problems with Morel, and I appreciate the defense of your player in public, but I do think behind closed doors there may be in a different conversation, because Morel got sent off in the Fleetwood game when we're a goal up, so he misses the rest of that game and another. He gets a straight red and a playoff charge against MK Dons. He misses 60 minutes of that game and three more. In fact, was it three more or four more, because it was his second red? I don't fucking know the rules. Four more. And then obviously he gets sent off against Posh, which changes the game plan for that. Fortunately, we get through it, and now he misses Derby. So I still personally believe it's an unfortunate red card, and I'm not going to hold it against Morel, but it is still his fourth red of 23. I imagine a conversation has happened behind closed doors, because while we want Morel to be effective in games, Was it him or Lowry that said the best ability is availability in pre-season? It was one of those two. Now neither of them are playing away at Derby, one of the games of the season. You can't say the best ability is availability
if neither of you are playing. Didn't Joe say something in his interview with 4-0 written over it?
So the irony of saying the best ability is availability when you've been sent off four times in 9 months. And three of those months we weren't playing football. He's been sent off four times in like 6 months. Again, I'm gonna give Morel a pass for that red card, but let's just please Morel. The thing is, I'm saying this because I want Morel to play football. I'm not happy suspended. I want Morel in that team, which is why I'm saying all of this. Morel, please just be a little bit more careful because I want to see you playing more football because I think you can do stuff.
Den?
Yeah. So I saw the red card on Saturday. I saw that as a bit of a petulant tackle from Morel, a little petulant little dig there that he had no need to do. There were plenty of players covering. I was also there at the MK Dons game and watched him jab the bloke when he was on the deck that got him sent off in that game. I think Morel, I think he probably is our best midfielder, but he's also a liability. He can't keep putting himself out of the odd game here or there, or four games at a time, or for big chunks of the season. If he wants to be the kingpin of the team, which he can be, he needs to sort that out.
If it was four he missed after Derby, I'll have to double check this later on. If it was four he missed after Derby, that makes Derby will be the sixth Pompey game he's missed through suspension in 2023 alone. Never mind the three he's actually been sent off in. So that would make 9 games in 2023 that he's neither completed nor played through suspension alone. It is a problem for him that needs solving because, again, we want him to play.
Yeah.
But if you're missing 9 games, that's a hell of a chunk to miss.
Obviously, Derby going to be a tough fixture, but what's your pre-match prediction quickly before we I'll ask you first, Jeff. What are you thinking?
1-0 Pompey.
Yeah. Ryan?
They're not infallible. They've already lost 2 at home. Yeah. People may bemoan our drawing 5 out of 8 games in August. Go chat to Derby at their home form. I know they've played good teams. They've already played Wigan and Blackpool and Bolton and blah, blah, blah. They've still lost 2 home games, more than we have. So they're not infallible. We can go there. We can go there knowing what we've done against teams who actually come and play football. Why not? We are going to get a point at Derby 1-1.
I'm going to do something because I haven't got the headphones on for the first time. My little brother has. It's a dicking. There you go, Dave. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to put it out there. What are you going for, Harry?
Go 2-1 Pompey. 2-1 Pompey. We'll go what goal down like we did.
Oh yeah, obviously. It's a banker, isn't it? Right.
I've just double checked. It was 4 games he missed after.
Yeah.
The MK Dons record.
We need to wrap up tonight. Obviously, we haven't got that much to. We've pretty much covered everything. But let's get our features out of the way. Starting in tradition with traditionally I'm pissed with Jeff's third eye.
I want to start with a belated third eye from the Orient game. And if you go back to Yenge's penalty, I'm right in saying the home fans were behind that goal, weren't they?
Correct, because we were in the side.
Go back and watch the Orient fan that comes out the double doors underneath the stand. So Yenge scores the penalty. The Pompey fans erupt in marvellous applause. A Leighton Orient fan comes running out the double doors and starts celebrating. And then he realises Yenge scored a penalty. And he turns around, goes, fuck off, and goes back through the double doors. Watch the highlights. Watch that highlight penalty. And I was like, at first I thought, is he a Pompey fan in the Orient end? Or is he a... And then as I saw him turn around in disgust and walk back to the bar, I was like, no, he's definitely an Orient fan.
What makes this revelation weirder is that the Cassini Yenge penalty was in the 90th minute to make it 4-0. Yeah. So why, as an Orient fan, would you be like, yeah, we're back in it? Like, come on. Up the goal difference.
Yeah.
So that was that one.
Interesting one, Matt. Yeah, I'll have to look out for that.
During the during the Fulham penalty shootout, I don't know if you've seen the goals back, but the iFollow camera was blurred, so the ball's in super sharp focus, but the rest, the goalkeepers and the penalty takers were both blurred. So, you know, I thought I was getting cataracts at one point, but yeah, there's that one.
A bit of iridocyclitis.
Steve Lidge commentary on iFollow. Now we get that iFollow commentators are usually biased. However, they were so biased and not objective and calling fouls that weren't fouls. It was just absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, I did hear this, that they were another atrocious commentary team.
Peterborough part one, Ronan Curtis was absolutely, you know, loving it in the crowd that night. And Peterborough part two, so there was a corner on, I think it was 23 minutes, that wasn't even in the corner. It was nowhere near. The ball went out and the linesman said it was a throw-in. It wasn't a throw-in because I sit directly in line with the touchline on the south stand from the fat end. And I look right up the line. The ball never even went out and the linesman's kind of guessed at that one. But the best third eye was Jay Sadler. Couldn't scan his ticket at the turnstile to get in the fat end on Saturday, really? To get into the ground. So that made me chuckle. They were the third eyes.
Oh, there you go. I know Jay got in the end because I saw him after the game coming out of the stadium.
He did, yeah.
I know he wasn't pawing at the gate for 90 minutes, which is nice. I don't really have any third eye, so we'll move on to Dub and Din of the Week.
Can I tell a late third eye just given to me by David there?
That's another one of those features, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, I've got my third eye. I've got my feature. Hey. David just mentioned about Paddy Lane face plant on the face of the post. I don't know if you saw that.
That looked painful, it did, by the way.
Sorry, I've got one more.
Oh, go on.
It wouldn't be a third eye unless I said there's one more. when we were singing We're Coming For You, Christian Sadie was a substitute and warming up, and he was absolutely laughing his head off in the corner of the fat and end south stand that we were singing We're Coming For You to the scummers, and he was absolutely loving it. If there's one guy that's got Portsmouth Football Club in the city, it's Christian Sadie.
Dub and Din. What do you want? Yeah, you go first.
Din of the Week, Ricky J. Jones. How many times does a player give it the colossal big un in front of the frat end in the first half, only to not end up on the winning side? Ricky J. Jones is the latest din to have had that particular fuck up. Don't do it.
No, let them do it. It's funny.
Wait, actually, yeah, let them do it because I know we'll win then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's let the opposition score 5 minutes at every game.
It was the fingers in the ears, wasn't it, he did?
Don't do it. Yeah, it doesn't work. Does not work.
Dub
of the week. It might go to us for actually. There are 168 hours in a week, and we've actually found one. We can actually get together.
Well, actually, I need to go.
Podcast.
Can we go? Are we up? I need to go.
There you go. dub of the week. Sean Raggett could get dub of the week for scoring goal of the season.
Oh, wow.
What
yeah.
the fuck was that? He's absolute. He's. Where the hell did that come from?
Every time now he gets the ball when he plays, all you're going to hear is shoot.
Just an extraordinary effort. 2,000 of us there in this milquetoast. Actually, milquetoast, I'm sure it was actually quite an action-packed first half against Fulham. But no one sees that coming from sort of 30, just over 30 yards away. One thing I do enjoy actually is when someone scores from about 30 yards away, people's perception of distance goes entirely out the window. I got home that night, so he scored from 45 yards. I said, did he fuck? Matt Taylor at Sunderland was 45 yards. Like, Jesus.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think people lose perception of distance once they lose the nice white lines to guide them. This is why people should watch American football.
He hit it that
football.
Hard, he folded the continuum of space and time.
Indeed. Einstein had to revisit some shit after that one. But what a goal. And in the absence of preparing for dub, because I'm a din, Raga can have it for what is actually a genuine goal of the season contender.
Yeah, fair play. Can't
and he nearly scored a perfect hat-trick that night because he scored left foot for the equaliser. And the one thing he screwed up was the head. Which
of
is
all
the thing
things
you
put your house on
him
scoring ahead,
oh,
you?
Oh, Raggett. But what a hit. He can have it.
There you go. Dub and Din. Jeff's third eye. I haven't actually got a name for my feature, but I'm just picking a song every week that kind of reflects the week on, you know, it could be and it could be a bad week, could be a good week. And this week, I'm actually going to go with kind of going off the back of what you were saying earlier about give them a bit of, you know, don't lose your heads if we go 1-0 down. So we're going to end on a bit of George Michael and Faith. I think that's a fitting tune, isn't it?
I regret bringing it up now.
So there you go. That's what I've gone for. There's no, I could have gone for the obvious with the Peterborough player, you know, sticking his fingers in his ears, but I'll save that for another week because I'm sure there'll be more.
Now that I remember what your feature was, I would have gone with It's Not Over Yet by the Klaxons.
Yeah. I mean, okay, we can use that.
I'll just do better your future there.
No, that's fine. I'm going with George Michael. I'm the bloody DJ here, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Or Chemical Brothers, Where's Your Head?
Right. Do I stick my nose in your features?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yes, you do, actually.
Yeah, you do.
Every week, so, well, I've got a late contender for Dubbin Dinner of the Week.
Oh, that was the first and last week I'm doing my feature.
It's been three seasons that, you know, you've ever got a feature.
I pressed the buttons.
We've made multiple features.
Yeah.
You can't even be asked to do your job anymore. You've got a little brother doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, someone said to me recently, it was actually my accountant, work smarter, not harder. So welcome along, David.
Humble brag, he has an accountant.
I'm sorry. I mean, most self-employed people do.
Is he in the Cayman Islands?
How do you know that?
Yeah.
Any other business?
I guess a quick nod to our upcoming games of Derby and Barnsley away. I think over the course of 46 games, we're expecting Derby and Barnsley to contend for the top six.
This is where if we had a video, it will say 45 minutes later.
Yeah. And it will go, fucking hell. We don't do well against teams that finish in the top six away from home. Oh my God, we have got it. We have got
it's
it.
It's sticking, I've already
gauntlet.
Said it.
And then just a weird thing, maybe someone who's more intelligent than me with this type of thing can answer this. We obviously postponed the Barnsley game for international call-ups, and in the article that Pompey put out, it was said that we exercised the right to do that. And then surely both teams have to agree an amended date for the amended game. Why did we pick 3 days after Derby? It's a tough enough week as it is, where we've got Derby away and then Lincoln at home. Lincoln have started well.
They can stay up there rather than travel back.
Like, I understand the logistics of staying up in that part of the country, but again, we don't do well in this sort of game historically. And now we've got two of them in 72 hours. It just feels odd. And again, I know it's going to be slightly warmer than when we did it in February when it was minus... fuck. Very, very cold at Barnsley at that time of year, let me tell you. So I understand the logistics of, we can get it all done in one team stay up there, but we historically suck in big games away from home. We've now got 2 in 72 hours. All I'll say is, good luck to the Pompey lads. If you are that confident that you can do that double header in 72 hours and get something out of one, if not possibly both games, fair fucking play to you. And I imagine you'll change quite a few opinions of, again, people losing their head going 1-0 down after 20 minutes. If you can pull something off in that 72-hour period, fair fucking play, but you've got some historical statistics to overcome because we suck in this type of game. We've now got 2 in 3 days. It just feels like an odd scheduling to me. But I'll be there at both, and I put on X. We are going unbeaten in September.
Can you stop calling it X? It's Twitter,
mate. We are going unbeaten in September. I said this. I'm there all the way, but fuck me, do we have to go through the gauntlet to do it? That just feels like a very tough 3 days. Oh, I'll take 4 points. Yeah. Woof!
Should we wrap up there, lads? Yeah. Pleasure as always. Jeff, mate, good to have the gang
cheers.
Back.
Yeah.
Cheers to all the lads joining us in the pub as well. Yeah, thank you.
Seven
people. That's a record, isn't it?
Yeah. Like an Accrington away following.
There's only four left because they got bored after
that. Respect, Accrington.
But thank you very much. I'd like to say now to our new producer, David, who has been pressing the buttons for us. And cheers, Ryan, as well, mate.
David, thank you for stepping in.
I'm feeling really old.
He's go on, mate.
Feeling really old because obviously I used to coach David when he was 9 years old at football.
He's only 10 now, so that's what you want about.
Now he's 19 drinking a beer in the pub.
Men's. Yeah, hilarious. That's the last time. That's the first and last time David will be joining us on Three Lads in the Pub. But thank you, Pompey
fans.
I'm
not telling either of you when my birthday is, by the way. Because you did the post on the group about, Jeff's 60th today. you know what, Jeff? A lot of people bloody believed it as well.
I know, fuckers.
I'd be having words, Jeff.
Wasn't that me who put that tweet out?
Yeah, well, it wasn't me. So it was one of us.
I know you put out that was 45 and people believed you. But yeah, lads, great to be back. And Ryan, keep up the good work, man. I'm going to say it to you every week because you're going to keep going, smashing it, mate. 4 stone down. I think that's an honourable mention for double the week again. But yeah, keep up, mate. And thank you, Pompey fans, for listening to Three Lads in the Pub. See you later. Oh, yeah. Over to you, George. Because I got to have faith.
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.